Well, it's somewhat hard for me to believe that we've come this far so quickly. Here we are at the end of the module on grace commitments. And next week we move into 3 weeks that are going to be dealing with the nature of God. Should be some very, very interesting and helpful materials. But for this week, let me jump right into it. Scripture memory, a very important text, as we begin to understand a little bit about the roles that God has given to various people in the church. And I think the thing to pick up on in this text, and I wanted to make sure the guys as they were doing their scripture memory would understand, is pastor-teacher, at least from my perspective, it's debated, but probably should be viewed as pastor-teacher, not pastor and then teacher, in that there is a role for those who are pastor-teachers. And in other words, they do much of their pastoring through their teaching. And so here we've got a text that takes us into equipping the saints, that these people equip the saints to do the work of ministry. So we're going to be talking about that throughout this lesson. But first, what I want to do is just to cover some miscellaneous things. I always like to cover what's coming up in the life of the church or what I want to be sure that we're doing together for getting to know each other better, maybe outside our group meeting. So whatever you might find there. But then, again, I like to use an icebreaker. I love to just get us talking and so forth. And so this week, my question of choice was, as a child, what is your most fond memory? What is your most fond memory? And let them talk about it, hear a little bit about what's going on in their lives and so forth. And then this week, I wanted to mix mine up a little bit so we weren't just in the same routine every week. And so I moved right into a time of accountability and mission, where usually that comes toward the end. What I did for that is I asked them about their 21 days of personal worship. And you can either have a little chart, which I do have a little chart where they can sign up to kind of keep up where they are. But often instead of just using that, I'll say, okay, how many have hit your 21 and then just back off of that? How about 15? And just kind of see where everybody is. Then with that, I want to make sure that they can recite the books of the New Testament. This is the week that everyone was supposed to be finished with that assignment. And so you could check everybody out on that. The prayer walk. Remember, we had a prayer walk as an assignment this week. And so you might want to check and see, you know, how did their walk go? What was it like? What did they experience? You'll probably hear some very good things. Some of the people probably didn't do it as they were supposed to do, and so this would be a time to encourage them this week. Try that prayer walk. If it's just a 30-minute walk around the neighborhood or a lunch break and walking around the area where you're business, but just try to get the time, if you can, to do a prayer walk. And for some of our young moms, I think this is going to be virtually impossible until maybe a late afternoon if Mary, the husband, can come and take care of the kids. But you have to figure out how that might work, whether maybe you can do it on a Sunday afternoon or Saturday. But try to get that in, if at all possible. And then question 4, page 7, it says, have you been involved in any activity or relationship that is morally compromising? That's the one that I focused on. And then I followed that with the guys. I think this is one that we're really seeing important to ask, and that is any form of pornography, any slippage there, and so forth. Let's remember, too, as we're doing our accountability, just a reminder, we find out where we failed, but we don't want to just hold accountable. We want to ask questions as leaders, and why do you think we did that, and why do you think we did that, until we get back to the sin behind the sin, and always remember it's repentance where we want to go. At this point, supplication for me next, because again, I've been waiting at the very end of the group to do supplication, and sometimes we get a bit squeezed out. And so here's a time that we could kind of give a little bit more time, even if we don't have as much time for the teaching time. Let's make sure we get our prayer time. Taking requests this week, my idea was just to take requests and updates on where people are. And then here's where we spent our prayer time. One, failure of assignment. Some of us are slipping a little here or there, and we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've not been really working at getting prepared and doing a good job. Or, number two, in the areas of accountability, here's a time for our repentance where we failed. And then thirdly, just to stop and say, okay, let's get some of our needs. Let's update where we are in our personal needs so we can pray for each other. Now we come to the truth and equipping portion. And as we came to this, I wanted to just review here the three views of equipping. And they're in your notes, so you can walk through that. Make sure they understand the view that we hold as a church. The next thing I wanted to do was to help them understand the roles and responsibilities that the various leadership of the church have versus each of them as members of the local body. And so I use the business model. And this is just something that you could use as well with your ladies or your men. And the business model simply saying every business has a customer. And so just put the word customer down here. I put it at the bottom and I say, now, who is the customer of the church? And let them talk, and they'll give probably differing answers. Some will say, well, it's non-Christians, and some will say, well, maybe it's Christians too, and so forth. And say, okay, let's hold off on that. Who is the employee? Whoops. Employee. And some will say the staff, and some will say members, and different things. Okay, well, we're not totally in agreement with that. How about the employer? Who is the employer? And that's where a lot of people say, well, that's God. And then I say, well, then who is the owner? And the truth is, you could be employer and owner, but assuming they're different, I say, let's now start at the top and let's work down, see what we can learn from this. And so they say, well, the owner is God, we know that. Okay, who is the employer? Who has that function in the life of the church? And I try to lead them to understand it's the elders of the church and the staff. Now, I know some of your churches have different roles. You call different people different things. But whoever the elected leadership, assuming you have elected or appointed leadership of the church, the governance of the church, and the staff that would be under their authority. And so these two function together as the employer. And so obviously the customer, we ask the question, well, who reaches the customer? Well, we think it's got to be the employee. It's their job to reach the customer. So then we come down and say, well, who is the employee of the church? Who has that function? And we say, well, actually, that would be the membership, the members of the church. That's their job. It's their job to reach the customer. So who's the customer? And everyone says, oh, that's the unchurched, and that's true. But it's also members of the church because we minister one to the other. So as you look at this, we say, okay, who is primary job to reach the customer? It is the employee. Whose responsibility is it to take care of the employees? Ah, that's the employer. And who gives the direction to the employer, the owner? Well, it's the same way in the church. If you look over here, we need to take our instruction from the Lord, obviously. But then the question is, whose job is it to reach the unchurched and the members, to minister to them? And we say, oh, it's our job as the people of the church. And it's the job of the staff and the leadership, elders and so forth, to equip the saints. And here it is, to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And so what we've got to do is get away from the mindset that says it's this group up here that's responsible to taking care of everybody, for doing everything. No, we really equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And so to be able to have that understood is very important. You can get into a discussion about that and see what they have to say and so forth. At this point, I like to walk through again with the guys in my group something that at Perimeter they've heard in the inquirers process, but many of you churches that are using this would not be familiar. I like to make a point using three circles, and these three circles represent the 24-hour day in the life of a pastor. And each circle represents, just for illustration purposes, a small church, not even a large church. And if there are 100 or 200 people in a church, there literally are hundreds of people who can have problems, whose problems can come back to bear upon the pastor in this regard. 24-hour day, how do I use that? Well, I could put a big P there, and that stands for pastoral responsibilities. Because if I have only 100 or 200 members in the church I pastor, there are parents of those people and they get cancer, then our people have a problem. Or let's say a next door neighbor gets in a very difficult divorce situation and come to you for counsel, and what do? You say, oh, I can't help you too much, this is pretty complicated. Let me let you talk to my pastor. And so there are literally hundreds of people who could have problems that could come up back to say, could you help? So P just gets big, fills a 24-hour day very quickly. In this particular scenario of the use of time, I'm going to put a little L-E, leader equipper, which stands for the idea of leading and equipping the role that God has given to us as pastors. The good news of this use of time, there is a little circle there that I call personal life circle. That might be exercise, time with children, personal worship, and so forth. Well, I've never really lived in this, and pastors live in different places, but here's one that I have, and this is a common one for many, and that is big P and big L-E. We're going to lead and equip. That's the God, what God's called us to do, to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. Pastoring grows so big, and so we can push out something, that personal life. It gets pushed out very, very quickly and very easily. And but there's a third option. This is what I think is the biblical option, and that is leading and equipping, a primary role. And then there is pastoring. We want to pastor those that are in leadership in the church. And I, as the pastor, need to make sure that our staff and our officers are taken care of and so forth. The larger the church gets, even you can't do that all personally yourself, but it's under your role and responsibility there. And then there are other things such as personal friends and so forth. You would pastor just because you are the friend, not because you're the pastor, but then you have to be prepared to pastor any and everyone who makes their need known. And hear this, unless you have someone equipped well to do it. And that's where this comes in, the L-E. We equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And that leaves that spot for personal life, where people's personal lives can stay intact. So you might walk through that if you choose. That's just an option, just to help them see why it's so important that we as the people in the church are available to be equipped by the leaders. If the leaders are willing to equip, then we get equipped so we can do the ministry in the life of the church. I like to quote, it was either the president of Harvard or Yale who made the comment. He said, unless a large percent of my time is designated to put my feet on my desk, I cannot lead the organization. All I can do is I can manage it. And pastors need to be leading. They need to be spending time equipping. And for that to happen, the saints have got to be willing to do the work of ministry. And so as a leader in your group, you want to press that to them, to help them see that they are the ministers of the church. And they have a great privilege and responsibility to take on that role. Then I like to walk through the responsibilities, kind of to make sure they understand that one of the things they need to do is to learn their giftedness. This is a great time for you to just bring up the discussion of spiritual gifts. What are they? Who does God give them to? And why does He give them to us? And how do you discover them? And depending upon how much you're aware and understanding spiritual gifts, impart that to them. You might want to read up and study on that a little bit. But help them know it's to discover their gifts, to develop and use them, and then to get equipped in the use of their gifts, obviously, and to spend the time necessary in order to use those gifts. So you might walk through some of those ideas and responsibilities. Then I wanted to take them to the questions on page 5, under 2 summarizing, and you'll find there these things. I'll just read them to you. Do you view yourself as a frontline minister to the inside and the outside of your church? And that's a great question to ask, and see where they see themselves. And say, let's all put ourselves either inside or outside. Where would you say that you're falling right now? Then number 2, have you discovered and developed your spiritual gifts? And do you feel you're using them if you have discovered them? Great discussion there, just for them to say, wow, look where I am. I used an illustration years ago of my grandmother who had died. My grandfather previously died before her, and here I was, a young student, and she handed me a box, and she told me about this box. She said, in this box is enough to take care of you and your future family probably for the rest of your life. And we're leaving this to you, but I do not want you to open it until after I pass away. And it was probably about a year or two when she passed away. And after she did pass away, I had that little box. And for some strange reason, I just decided I wasn't going to open it. And now here these many, many, many years later, here I'm an adult, and I've never opened that box. And I often wonder what's in it, but I just decided not to open the box. Now, were that a true story that I just told you, which it is not, I know what you were thinking. You think, you're crazy. Why would you open that box? What if God gives us a gift to use throughout our life to help other people to become what they need to become, to have what they need to have? And we will, I don't think I'll open it. I'll just go through life and never really discover what's in there. It would be that foolish. So maybe you would want to illustrate that with them. And then the last question that I asked was simply, have you put yourself under the authority of your local church? And that's an important one too. They need to follow God-ordained leadership with an attitude of trust and just say, Lord, here I am. Great text if you want to look at Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders who watch over your souls. And so have you put yourself under the authority, which means have you come in submission to membership, we often call it, to your church. And if they haven't, encourage them to get in the process at your church to find out how to become a member if that is the church they need to be a part of. So with that, we've already done our prayer time. We just had a little closing prayer and off for our evening. I hope you have a good week this week as you talk about this very important idea of equipping the saints to do the work of ministry. Remember, we are the saints. We need to be equipped. We do the work of ministry and watch God's kingdom come. So have a great week with your folks.